Welcome to Breaking the Underdog Curse with Dr. Don McDonald. This show is for vitalistic chiropractors that want to take their practice to a new level. Whether that is higher volume, less stress, more congruency, or just want to continually learn and evolve. Every Wednesday, I will be bringing you an interview that will provide you with either mindset or strategies that will help you overcome your underdog curse. Whether you're plateaued, afraid to fail, or stressed out due to overwhelm, this podcast will show you how others have overcome their challenges. Make sure to go to www.drdonmcdonald.com where you can sign up to get notifications when new shows are released and see previous ones you may have missed. I hope you enjoy the show and don't forget to crush the curse. Are you a people pleaser? I know I sure am. And when you mix that with being a chiropractor, it can create a lot of trauma. I know firsthand, it can wear away at your health, your relationships, and your practice. I term this the underdog curse, and I've spent the last 15 years coming up with a solution. My book, The Underdog Curse, was written to help others live a more authentic life. This is very challenging if you're externally influenced. When you take an externally influenced person and have them try to spread the message of chiropractic, it can be very challenging. If you'd like to get back to who you really are, regain your health, strengthen your relationships, and increase your worthiness, please visit Amazon.com and pick up your copy of The Underdog Curse today. Remember, if we take the time to nurture ourselves, we are much stronger at serving others. For chiropractic to thrive, we must have thriving chiropractors. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Breaking the Underdog Curse. This is Dr. Don McDonald, your host, and today I'm going across the pond the other way, over to England, over to Nottingham, home of Robin Hood, and Dr. Naomi Mills. How are you today?
I'm very good, thank you.
I'm very excited about interviewing you today. We just, on the pre-call, you're saying, like, why are you interviewing me? You interview everybody who's been in practice for so long. But Dr. Naomi's been in practice for 6 years, and this is kind of her breakout year. She's been doing some work with Brandy. She joined our Vitality Shift program, and she's kind of, she's read my book too. And so she's like, she's kind of having a breakout year. So I kind of want everyone to, we're going to dig into her brain and just kind of go back. Cause I remember, well, I sort of remember my breakout year. It was like a long time ago, but it's kind of fresh in your mind. So welcome to the podcast.
Thank you very much for having me.
That's awesome. So let's start back to when you started chiropractic. How did you get into this whole profession in the first place?
Probably not. I don't have any interesting stories. That's always a hard question when people ask me that. I was always going to be a doctor, and then because I knew I wanted to work with people. And then when I was 18, I went and worked for a year at the hospital in Nottingham, actually. And then realized I absolutely did not want to be a doctor because I didn't get to spend any time with anybody. And they all looked really stressed and unhappy. But I developed some back pain being an auxiliary nurse. So that is when I went to meet a chiropractor. And I just remember sitting in his room going, this is what I was looking for. But I didn't know anybody. I didn't even know what it was. I had to go and Google it. So
that's hilarious. And so did you just go for a few visits or how did that turn out?
I honestly don't know. I very, because I was, it was a time in my life I was looking for what on earth I was going to do as a career. And I was like, no, this is it. This is what I've been looking for. And so I don't really remember. I just spent a lot of time in his office. He adjusted me for free because he was going to make me go to chiropractic college. And I did.
Was it his idea too? Or did you?
And it was his idea. A bit. It just really fitted me as a profession.
Right. That's yeah. Excellent. And so then you went to school. Where did you go to school?
MACC in Bournemouth.
Okay. And how did that go?
I couldn't have been. This year has really probably shocked me more than anybody at how much I do kind of fit with chiropractic. Because when I went to chiropractic college, I was probably the least person that fitted in there in terms of my personal health and how I looked and how I thought. And I didn't have this great experience or this great story. I just went because I thought this job is really going to suit me. And it's only this year I've realized why I became a chiropractor, and I think why a lot of people have become chiropractors, is this whole connection with people, and because people are looking for a way to connect with other people. But I only realized that this year.
Oh, so that's interesting.
I just went with it.
You just went with the flow. So when you say you're kind of different than others at school, like, what was the difference?
Oh, that's a really hard question. I don't know. Just, I felt other people got it, or they had this idea of chiropractic, and I had no idea, and I wasn't sure if I was going to fit in with the lifestyle and with the premise and the philosophy. And my school doesn't have a particularly strong philosophy compared to what you have in North America. It's more medical based, and I think most of us would agree that we graduated as doctors without medical degrees.
Right.
We knew more about what not to adjust than anything about how to take care of chiropractic patients.
Right. So when you were in school and you heard about maybe these vitalistic people, what did you think about them when back then? Or did you even know about it?
So actually my associate said to me a couple of weeks ago after the UCA conference, which is quite funny, he said, how is it that we all went to the same kind of school, and he went to the school in Wales, and we were all brought up the same way to be this pure evidence-based kind of medical exercise-based people. And he said, but all of us that go and look at the other side, nobody chooses the medical side. And I was like, yeah, I know. So I think I was always drawn to it, but scared of it a little bit. We weren't allowed, you wouldn't have been allowed in there. Like, I'm not allowed now to go in there with UCA t-shirts, or, you know, they really close it down. And I think we felt that we would have liked to see every kind of chiropractic and choose for ourselves rather than have parts hidden from us.
Right. It's almost like they're afraid for you to hear it, because then you won't come back.
Completely. Yeah. Yeah.
So, okay, let's go through, you went through school and then you graduated. And then what did you open on your own, or how did you start right out of the gate?
No, I called the guy in Nottingham and said, I'm now graduated. I need a job, please.
This is your fault.
Yes. Well, he said, yes, but you have to do it all for yourself. And he was always very open about that. That I would be, and then I thought, well, I need to build a practice. Now, he's been in Nottingham like 12, 13 years. He's American. He has this lovely way. Everybody knows him. Everybody loves him. So I was like, how am I going to build next, you know, upstairs from that guy? And so I just found my own niche of people and got out networking, and, you know, having to pay the bills was a great motivation, and just got out speaking to people, which obviously wasn't something he'd done for decades. So it was, yeah, it worked really well.
And did you grow pretty consistently at the very beginning, or how did that go at the beginning?
Yeah, but slow.
Yeah.
Because I was missing, I couldn't explain what chiropractic was, I couldn't explain why you would be there, I had no idea how to care plan, and so you didn't get any of these wow results because you didn't adjust anybody nearly enough. But compared to my peers, if somebody hadn't already gone into a really busy practice, I was good, so I didn't see that it was limited until this year.
Right. So, and you're just, because you're comparing yourself with the people that you graduated with, and you said, "Hey, I'm doing better than those guys." So, this is pretty good.
And in the UK, I would say the average appointment time in terms of the people that stay in that model that we were taught is like 15-20 minutes. So then, if you're only seeing four patients an hour, you know, you're only going to see so many in a working week, aren't you? So there's that kind of a structural thing, as Randy calls it.
100%. And so what was your, so at the beginning, because you have limited advertising rules, right? You guys are extremely strict. So yes. How did you start your practice? Did you just go to networking events, or how did you do that when you can't even advertise or do screenings or anything like that?
So I did business networking events, and there are ways around it. I made sure the website was updated. I put stuff on Facebook. If you can't say anything much about pediatrics and pregnancy, which is my area of interest, and I did my postgraduate master's in pediatrics as well, and you just put up loads of photos of them. But I guess like any other practice, it's just by word of mouth, because they're better patients anyway. The ones that just call from Google are always harder.
Yeah, they are. They totally are. So you mostly got, because initially you always have to get out there, right? So you have to get out in the community, because you can't get referrals when you have nobody at start.
Exactly. And I did a few talks and things through some of the big local businesses, but it was hard because when you don't understand what you're doing, and people had financial issues or they all had private medical, but I wasn't registered with them, it was hard in the start. Yeah.
And so how did you feel, like, if you can remember back when you're, you know, trying to explain chiropractic and maybe you didn't know exactly what it was, like, how did that feel?
It felt horrible because I think the main reason that I was successful anyway is that I'm very frank and honest and straightforward. And so I'd be saying to them, well, I don't know if it's going to work for you. Should you be doing this? Well, we'll try. And now, you know, of course, I understand it much better. But yeah, it felt pretty exhausting.
100%, because you know you wouldn't have any practice members or patients under care for very long, so you always had to depend on new ones all the time, right?
Yeah, but I still have 5 or 6 now that were started my first week with me. So
yeah, well, it's what
wrapped along somehow.
Yeah, well, and you know what? I think too, people, we always say people are more attracted to you as a chiropractor than chiropractic, right? People care a lot more about how much you care, and so I think, no matter what, even if you don't have the philosophy down or don't know how to communicate it as well, as long as you are, you just love to help people, I think that is just a huge and attractive force on its own.
Yes.
So then you were in the upstairs, and did you stay there the whole time, or did you move to a new place?
I was there for, this is good, 2 or 3 years, 2.5 years, something like that. And then a letter came through the door from another chiropractor about 5 miles away saying he was going to sell his practice, and he thought I would be right to take over it. And he'd kind of interviewed a few people and not found anybody yet. And I was ready to go anyway, and I was always going to have my own place. So it was in the same week I got married, I bought his practice and just moved on.
That's wow. That's crazy. Get her done.
Week. Yeah.
And for those of you out there, Naomi is a driver. Right. So she's a driver personality. So she'll get her done. So that's the thing that I wouldn't really do, because that seems kind of crazy from my personality perspective, but that's why she's like, get her done. So, so you moved to that new location, and then, and then how did that go?
Oh, it was the best thing I've ever done in the world. I was very lucky. The practice wasn't thriving because he'd known for some time that he was leaving and he didn't want to be there anymore. But all the groundwork, he had proper chiropractic assistants that had been on seminars, had training, he had callback procedures, he had loads of paperwork that allowed me to go in with my different perspectives and keep the stuff I liked and develop other areas, because I did a lot more marketing in a different way. And it just grew like crazy.
That's excellent. And that was in your model where you're still like seeing people every 15 or 20 minutes, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. But he was getting like 8 new patients a month to the clinic, and we got it up to 40. And then I went and had a baby. So that was another break. I know.
And then, so did you get someone to help you then at that time when you had a baby?
I did. And that taught me another really important lesson, that the person that came on at that time, and I just thought, I'm pregnant, thank the Lord there's somebody else, because there aren't many chiropractors in Nottingham, there's not enough, didn't turn out to be the right fit in the end, because her view of chiropractic wasn't the same as mine. And it was through the work I did with Brandy that we realized we'd be better off apart. And it just taught me an awful lot about the right team and the right people around you for everybody's well-being, not just, you know, having the practice. So yeah.
Right. Now, when you, because there must have been a realization, because I know you'd reached out to Brandy to get some help. Tell me a little bit about that transition, about getting some help to maybe go, maybe that there's something out there that you're not aware of, or tell me, how did you go through that process?
Well, it came about from going to some seminars, particularly the UCA seminars, and hearing some speakers from all around the world and all these wow stories. And I think I saw Brandy speak as well. I did. And then I was pregnant at the time, and I rewrote a lot of my practice and the way we were going to do things. I just kept thinking, you know, there's something there that I really want to do. And then she worked with one of my close friends, and I was wildly jealous, because I was like, what is she telling you, you know, because then suddenly her practice exploded and she was super happy. And so And I was like, I'm going to contact Randy.
And so, so how did that process work when you're working with her? What were some of the realizations and the breakthroughs that you went through at the beginning?
Oh, the beginning was horrific.
That's awesome.
I wasn't going to be able to work with my associate anymore. And I was like, you can't tell me that because I can't do it without her. And then she was like, of course you can do it without her, which I could and have. What else happened? Oh, she made me feel sick. I went to one of my other friends who wants this but hasn't done it yet, and yeah, I just was like, I don't know, I just didn't know if I could do it, and because it was so alien to everything we'd ever been taught, even though it's still pure science, it's really simple physiology, it was just so scary to take that step into the unknown. But I can do it because I'm the alpha personality, and I was like, okay, I trust that you guys know what you're talking about, so I'm just gonna do it. And I think because I am that personality, I switched my entire clinic around in 2 weeks, changed all my appointment lengths, all the times, introduced all the neuro tests, changed all the reports, did all the love. I did it all in about 14 days. My poor CAs probably hate me, but I'm a hard person to work with. And the associate left, I got a new associate. It has just been mental but brilliant, because everything I changed, I was like, this is amazing, so I'm going to do more and more and more. And I went from April seeing 70 patients a week, which isn't too bad around here, and to last week I did 220 with space. And so it has just gone crazy.
That's amazing. And you know, for some people out there, that's pretty amazing to go through and change all your procedures. Because so there was a transition, right? Because first you're getting coached with Brandy, and then
well, that's all this year. That's been since April. So
yeah. And then you did the vitality shift.
Yes.
Right. And what was your biggest takeaways from the vitality shift?
Quite a lot of it I'd covered, because the faster I did in Brandy was like, oh, but I just keep giving you all this stuff. But by far the neuroscience and the vitality shift in itself, being able to share that with my associates and the CAs, is the most valuable thing, because it's really difficult if you're the only person evolving and changing and seeing things. The people around you are like, what the heck happened to you? And they don't see it. So it's been an amazing tool, because I'm just like, I can see it now and I can't unsee it, but it can be difficult to break down. So, yeah, that's very good. It's nicely packaged.
That's good. And I find that too, is that sometimes it takes hours and hours if you're doing staff meetings and trainings, and it would take months and months, but it's nice to have that online program where you can go watch these modules. And then let's have a meeting after that. And you'd also, you also read my book.
I did read your book.
And I'm interested in what were kind of the points you got, that you got out of my book?
Well, on a chiropractic level, there's some really cool patient education stuff. I do the kitchen sink with them. The ones that want to get really into the mindset, because I realized so much this year how interconnected it is, and how important it is for some patients. I've given them your book. I've got them to read things and work through it. And for me personally, I think my own underdog curse, or whatever you want to call it, is every time something gets good, I then go, I have to go and do something crazy, like get married, buy a business, or get pregnant, or do something. And then this year I bought a massive building to have my clinic. But now I have learned that I will just thrive in said massive building, and there won't be another big change.
A big change. What do you think?
Self-sabotage. When you're too driven, you just keep going on to the next thing.
Right. And so are you now going to be maybe focusing more on the present and enjoying the process?
Exactly. And I know 2018 is about me growing my own practice, but also figuring out how to coach my team and associates. I've got a wonderful associate now. We're looking at new grad, because I do have a capacity. I don't want to work more hours. I actually want to do fewer hours. So it's how to pass it on to other people. Definitely in the future, I'd like to help more people do this kind of thing in the UK.
Well, and tell us about that shift to buy the new building. And how, you know, you're blowing things up in your practice. And you, didn't you say you're basically physically running out of room?
Yes. But I'm a very much, if an opportunity presents itself, do it person, which is how I came to it. And great things always come with that. So my husband and I were on a lovely sunny walk, and there's all these fixed points in life. Things just happen, don't they? Because they're meant to. And we walked past this building, and I had it in my mind that I needed a new building. And we just walked past it and we're like, that would be an amazing clinic. And it so happened that one of my close friends had said her friend was selling it. And she told me like the day before, and I was like, I think that's the place. And so I rang the guy. He came that afternoon. He gave me the keys. I never gave them back. I signed him up as a patient, and I begged, borrowed, and mortgaged a whole load of money that I did not have. I don't even know how I did it, but I was listening to Tony Robbins' podcast the other week, and he's like, have you ever been so driven that you've done something even if you didn't know how you could do it? And I was like, yes, but I still don't know how. And then in 12 weeks, it's gone from a derelict building to a brand spanking new clinic, all plastered and plumbed, and it looks beautiful.
And you were saying just before we got on the call that now you don't want anybody to touch anything in it?
No one's dead in there. They can look through the windows. I'll adjust the car park.
That's hilarious. And so this podcast is going to be going out in January. So you'll have opened in December, right?
Is that? Yeah, 4 weeks in, yeah.
That's amazing. So how long did it take you to renovate?
12 weeks while working full time with my 2-year-old, just on my one day off. But I had my wonderful patients did it, didn't they? The electricians, some of them are all patients, the people helping us move. And it's been wonderful because it does feel like a community thing. And it was an abandoned building for 3 or 4 years. Nobody liked it. It's right in the center of the village. It's really prominent. Yeah. So people are super excited about it.
So question, how do you do all this? You're a mom. Now you're a very busy chiropractor, and you're renovating a new building, and you're doing all that in 12 weeks, plus going through all this expansion of your being.
It's been an incredible year. Yeah, it's been mad.
So how are you handling it without getting burnt out? Are you still able to look out after yourself?
The only way to do it is to do, well, we call them the five pillars in our practice, but working out, sleeping, try not to eat too much rubbish, meditating now. But yeah, if I don't completely look after myself, there has been a couple of times that it got bad. I was overdoing it, but I keep going, it's once in a lifetime, I'm not doing this again.
Yeah, those are the famous last words, and then you get into trouble again.
So yeah, I just had to get it done because I can see the potential, and now it's massively reining myself in because I've gone from 3 rooms to 12 rooms. And then everyone keeps going, what are you going to do with all the extra space? And they expect you to say, oh, I'm going to do all these classes or have all these people. And I'm going, just chiropractic. It's just going to be a chiropractic office. So what I have learned is you do not want to dilute what you do. So I don't want it to be a multi-health center. So
No, that's amazing. Now, since that you've kind of changed it up a bit, now you're giving your practice members care plans and stuff like that. Have you been seeing different things now?
Oh, massively. So that's the one thing that I always want to say. If anybody's scared of trying it, or if they're that personality that has to see it, the hard thing is you don't get those moments. You sit in those conferences and you hear all these people talk, and it doesn't happen to you because you do not adjust people often enough. And I've heard what you guys do. There's some other really busy chiropractors in England that I've spoken to that do work in this model. I did a one-to-one with Tim Young the other week and did what he did, and basically just went, you know, seeing people 3 times a week for a month or 6 weeks or 7 weeks, and then you get the wow. And actually every patient is turning around and going, I wondered why you thought you could achieve this in, you know, 5 minutes. Because sometimes with the vitality shift, you can promise, you can talk to people like this amazing life experience they could have, not just through chiropractic, but by taking that on board as part of their lifestyle. But then if you're only seeing them 6 visits, it just doesn't add up. And then if you overpromise and underdeliver, it's just going to make you think it doesn't work.
Right.
So I have to look at you guys and look at Dr. Tim that's got his 23 years and he was on about his mentor that had 60 years and go, I can't ignore 100 years of people's experience. I will trust that you're not lying and I'll try it. And it's been amazing.
Right. Because that's part of it is you have to apply it, right? Because some people want to, and I think some chiropractors too are so addicted to certainty that they want to be guaranteed that whatever they do is going to work because they, but that's not how life is. And every single practice member or patient is totally different and has a different stress level, has a different environment, and everybody responds differently to certain things. So you kind of almost, the recommendation I'm hearing you saying is you got to just try it. And then see it, especially if we have vital signs and you can objectively measure function.
Exactly. But we can't change somebody's neurology if you're not seeing them enough. It just, you're not going to get those results that you guys talk about in the vitality shift. So you're only setting yourself up for failure. It's just like, it's whatever you feel comfortable with and like treble it. That was what it was for me. Just do it. Because they can say no, but nobody says no.
Right.
I promised myself I wouldn't make decisions for them. So I do every, if I have a new patient, I always write up their file the night before I do their report so they're fresh in my mind. And I just write what I want to do. And I say, this is my ideal. We can compromise. But I promised myself I wouldn't make excuses for them because I know they don't have time or money or whatever. I'm going to ask because then all they can do is say no. If I don't ask, they can't take it. And like 98% of them take it.
That's amazing. Was that shocking to you compared to what you thought it would be like?
Yes. Well, it was more shocking how many excuses I was putting for in my own head for them that they never did. And then when you think about it, it was like, well, what is your health worth? And they can all afford their lunches out and whatever, you know. It's really chiropractors undervaluing what we offer just because it takes a short amount of time or just because you can do it in your sleep now, you know. It doesn't make it unvaluable. So.
Right. It's just like breathing is very basic, but it's kind of vital.
I like that. I'm gonna use that.
Tell me some of the takeaways, because I know you said you just went to a little event with Tim Young. He was over there in England.
That was amazing.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about that.
So yes, I found once I'd worked through all the clinic stuff, there was a big chiropractic part that came in my skills. So I feel like a golfer trying to relearn my swing at the moment. And Tim's point wasn't that his was the best way to adjust, but it was about being incredibly specific. One segment, one time. So that's been crazy, but really good. It's like going back to year one at school, which I think everyone should now do because now it all makes sense. And he only does about 3 segments. I'm limiting myself to 5. But what I'm saying to my patients is, if I'm a bit of a lazy person and I just try and adjust all of you so it all moves, you're bound to be fine, I'm giving your brain like 20 instructions. If I pick the right few segments to adjust, you've got, you know, 4 or 5 things to do. What do you think is going to work better? And they'll go, oh yeah, no, that makes perfect sense. And I'm going, you'll have to bear with me. I have to concentrate. And they're all getting up after 4 minutes and thanking me and saying that was the best adjustment they've had in their whole life and leaving. And I'm just going, oh God, what's happening? It's just amazing.
Well, yeah,
focus, I think. So.
Yeah, I was going to say that if you gave yourself that rule, now you have to look for primaries when you're checking, right? Now you have to go like, what's the most important thing?
That wasn't in our vocabulary at school. We didn't know what a primary was or secondary was. So there's been a huge amount of learning involved, but it's been incredible. And so much fun.
And then the thing is that I think just that whole mindset would bring a lot more presence to the adjustment too, because that's part of the power of an adjustment is getting in that present moment.
Yeah. And that's something people don't talk about, but it's the connecting with people. And, you know, Tim has these like little mantras that he says, that he talked about and that I think of now, which is things like saying things like, I've got you, or you do really try and connect with them, and about the adjustment being a gift, which might sound really airy-fairy, but I've had people crying on me and holding my hands and hugging me for the last 2 weeks, and I haven't said anything. In fact, I stopped talking, and I think they're all grateful. So.
Right, and I don't know if you've ever found that. I have a medical doctor that just started care about 2 months ago, and I was joking around because she was so stressed out that she had almost like that foggy, like the fogginess over her eyes. That if you look in her eyes, it looks like she's just frazzled, right? And she just came in, and I was teasing her the other day. I'm like, you're almost making me feel uncomfortable because it looks like you're looking right into my soul, because she's like basically come awake. And I love that when all of a sudden the practice members are looking at you in the eye and that yeah. they're present, because so many people when they first come in are definitely not present. They're just kind of like frazzled off into that sympathetic dominant state. So I think as chiropractors, we have a tendency sometimes, because we're always looking after people, to get into that frazzled state, and then we lose that focus and that presence. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a pretty cool tip that the listeners out there can think about and really kind of hone down on what are those certain areas that you're gonna check. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Now, in closing, I always usually like to have our guests give some words of wisdom. And so, as you use a funny look, but again, we got to remember there's people out there that are, you know, they're either been in practice for a while and they get kind of stagnated mm-hmm. or stuck, or there's new grads that might have been feeling like you are. What kind of words of encouragement could you share with our listeners?
I would say it's definitely not as easy as everybody makes it look and sound, but with the right intent, you can achieve an awful lot more than you think you can, but you have to throw yourself in there. Might not be dismissive of things. And really, I think you have to give your whole heart to it, because if you're using too much of your head, it doesn't work. So,
yeah. So it's just like using your heart instead of getting out of your head into your heart.
Exactly.
That's amazing. Well, I want to say, Naomi, congratulations for this year. It's pretty amazing. It's nice to see, a mother who is has her own practice, has her own associates, blasting up, just had a new baby, blasting her practice, buying a new clinic, moving that, over doubling your practice in a year. And I wanted to say congratulations and recognize you on the podcast, because that's pretty inspirational. And I'm sure a lot of people will be inspired by that. So thank you for being on the podcast.
Thank you very much for blowing my mind this year.
So everybody out there, we covered some pretty cool tips. Get present, get focused, surround yourself with like-minded people. Get out there. You don't have to see it before you believe it. Believe it before you see it, and get out there and try it. And don't forget to crush the curse.
Thank you for listening to the podcast. If you receive value from this episode, please take some time to rate and review us on iTunes or your favorite place to listen to podcasts. If you know a fellow chiropractor that could benefit from this message, please share it with them. Because it's my goal to provide you with great content, please contact me if you have any questions at drdonmcdonald.com or find me on Facebook. I look forward to hearing from you. So until next time, Dr. Don out.